This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, we're about a week, less than a week. Yeah, by now, this time next week, it'll be over. Christmas will be done.
Oh.
I know, the worst, right? Although that is really, like, I'm trying to find reasons to make it exciting beyond then. It's like New Year comes up. I don't know if you guys have got plans for New Year yet. But after New Year, it's January. And the reason I like January is because hardly anything really happens. And it's like an extension of the holidays in some ways. Even though you're working, it's very chilled. There's not normally that many people back at work until halfway through the month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the hangover month.
Right. And nobody spends any money, so people are actually kind of mostly at home. So you can visit people, you can catch up on things, you can keep to yourself if you want to do that. Yeah, it's nice. It's a good time of year.
Well, this time next week, a lot of us will be stuck to our beds with very full bellies.
Oh, we'll
and
be
lazy
fat
as all hell.
We'll be fat like ticks.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I did this. I went to the gym yesterday and I actually trained with a friend, which I haven't done for ages. Did this. This is so boring, but I can't begin the show without it. Did this incredibly hectic chest session.
Oh.
I felt like I had tits afterwards. I felt like I had big tits. I almost had to borrow one of Leanne's bras afterwards.
Oh, so not even an A or B?
No, it didn't last very long, but I felt like I had tits. Really. And then people were even looking at me. I was like, don't look at my tits.
How full is the gym this time of the year?
Quiet. Oh, you can have anything you want in the gym. Yeah. I want that machine, sure. There's no one else around.
You can move the machines around if you want.
You can. You can even rearrange the gym and no one will tell you what to do.
So enjoy this feeling for another two weeks up until New Year's resolutions kick
exactly.
in.
Yeah, wow. People are already... I mean, you just... Now is either the best or the very worst time for anybody who goes onto social media, because the best part of it is if you're into other people having fun and you enjoy the whole festive season and you like seeing people having a good time, enjoying themselves, visiting friends and family, being at the beach or going to parties that just seem to last all day long, day drunk people posting shit they probably shouldn't. Give you, it's entertaining.
Oof.
And if you don't feel like feeling good about it, it gives you every reason, because you're like, oh, these people, I'm at work and look at them. You can get very bitter and twisted very quickly and resentful.
Mm-hmm.
It depends what you're after.
Oh, no. Just enjoy the season.
Yeah, get into it, right?
Roll with it. A lot of us will be out and about from Friday with no work.
Yeah. So do you have New Year's plans?
Yeah,
I've left it till the last minute, as usual.
New Year's plans as of yesterday. One of my sisters from Durban said she's actually coming up as well. So it seems like half of our family will be up here. And now we're reconfiguring everything now, because my niece is also coming. So it's actually a good time for us as the kids, because we're starting our own traditions.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. And then, you know what? Also, if you all do things together, you don't go to something, because I'm over those. I mean, for what, 15 years, I had to do a party every New Year, and I never really knew what New Year's Eve was. I was never drunk on New Year, because I was always working. And I didn't know what...
Are you laughing at that, Ben?
Because it's funny, like, New Year's is that time you have to be drunk, otherwise it's an insufferable experience.
No, I know, and it is insufferable, and that's why I don't really prioritize it. The expectation's always much too high, and we spoke about this a bit yesterday. But I've been invited to two different parties in Cape Town, and I could fly down, but it's such a waste of money.
Mm.
That's stupid, you know?
And the expectation is obviously huge because you're flying down.
Yeah, you're making a bigger deal of it, so I'm not going to do that. I think I'll just...
Yeah, exactly. And always remember, you learn things every single year. So don't get caught in the trap of next year thinking, oh, I must do this again. Like, no, but you hated it last year. So why are you dicking around with it again this year?
Thank you.
But you're definitely loving Christmas this year, Ben. You're donning a Christmas hat.
Yeah, I'm a big Christmas hat kind of guy.
Listen to a bit
of Wham. And
your earphones are even red.
Yeah, well, Ben loves Christmas. Red Ben buds. Gets into it. You know who else gets into Christmas? Bill Cosby.
Celebrate the season of giving with the Bill Cosby Christmas album.
I really can't stay.
Well, baby, please try the rest.
I gotta go away.
Ignore my hand on your breast.
All of the holiday hits, whether you want them or not.
I'm Cosby, the mentor. Take the girls up to my suite. Then take off their underwear. there while the lot of their fans don't sleep.
On sale now wherever Spanish Fly is sold.
Isn't that nice?
This time next year, Bill Cosby will probably have a new sentence that he has to live out as well. So,
well, he's safely in jail at
he'll
least.
Be,
you know, little things.
Delightful times.
We've made
for
some
him.
Progress this year.
Well, it's Camille's first Christmas without him.
Oh, she's going to have such a great Christmas. Oh. Wow.
Having the girls around.
That's actually.
That's so nice.
I'm
Eggnog.
So happy for her.
Yeah.
She will be on a yacht in Monaco. That's what she deserves.
Yeah, I think she's exactly where she wants to
like
be.
A staff of 24 people just devoted to her.
I hate to be depressing on a happy day and a happy week like this, but I can't believe there are more fires in St. Francis. I saw this on Facebook yesterday and I thought, no, this must be a repost from like that year when all of the houses burnt down. It looks devastating. Now, I don't know how many houses burnt down. I haven't really done the research around this because I honestly didn't believe that it had happened again. Mm. But... You know, I drove past there, not close enough to see it, but past the off-ramp on the N2. I thought, that is such a lovely place to go.
Yeah, it really is.
It's so special. It's got one entrance, one exit.
Especially this time of year.
It's people just go in there for the holidays. There are some people who live there all year round, but it feels like a holiday town.
Yeah.
And it's almost like this little made-up town with these canals and these beautiful thatched houses and everything looks the same. And it's like a wonderland. And I know people who live there, and I know people who go on holiday there all the time, and it's just so special. So I really am feeling very bad. And Charlene just sent me a message on Twitter to say, "Morning rock stars, please encourage everybody to help fire victims in St. Francis. Been there after the Knysna fires. Every little thing helps." So Charlene, thank you for that. And you can obviously... You could help in various ways. If you're in the area, there's probably a lot of volunteer work you could do. If you could donate some money, that's probably helpful because they're not to the owners of the houses. They're probably insured, so they're not asking for charity. But there are probably, you know, animal charities that you could help, or you could help with the community stuff, or maybe you could help with donations of water or basic provisions for people who work there. You know, there are staff who were gearing up for the festive season for looking after people on holiday. There are restaurants, there are small businesses. It's going to be hard for them to get back on their feet.
No.
Yeah?
Yeah. As of 7 hours ago, the municipality there confirmed in a Facebook update that 11 houses have been burned down. And they're just appealing for donations of small bottles of water, energy drinks, energy bars, chocolate, eyewash, and easy meals like hamburgers, hot dogs, or pies.
Right.
And this can all be found on their Facebook page.
Well, I mean, I always think about emergency services people at this time of year because, you know, we said yesterday, but firemen and policemen, and those are people who you actually need, and doctors and nurses. You need them to work at this time while the rest of us are all having fun. And I find, like, it's so unbelievably selfless to work at this time of year and to go and do the emergency work. It's not like, you know, those of us who have an office job or who have the kind of work that we can kind of get by with doing very little because yesterday, for example, I finished the show, went sat at my desk, went through some emails, made sure I'd cleared out my inbox, which was, I don't know, half an hour, maybe 45 minutes of work because there's not a lot of important stuff coming through.
Yeah.
And also, you're not going to be setting up appointments or going to meetings or trying to see 20 people in a day like you usually would in the middle of the week or the middle of the year.
Oof.
So I said to Greg and Dory at like, I don't know, what was it, 9:30? I was like, guys, I've got nothing else to do. I'm getting out of here. So I had to go to the dentist, and I tried to do Christmas shopping yesterday, which was, look, I've left it late. It's my own stupid fault. It was not completely unpleasant. I found this little Chinese shop that sells like the most incredible cheap shit you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah. That's no surprise that they send this edited that way.
But even though there's a lot of shit, I found amazing stuff. Like, I found this...
What were you shopping for in mind?
There's the immediate family, so I've got to get for... It's probably seven people plus two kids is nine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a long day.
Yeah. Well, is it? It doesn't have to be. Like, you could... If you really plan it properly, if you've got an idea of what you're going to spend... Or on what you want to buy. And with some of them, it's easier than others.
But there's no particular formula. That's the thing. You might find something and you go, ooh, it's great, but it's not the best. And then, it leads to three shops later.
Okay, so what we worked
out. 2 hours later.
What I worked out, because I spoke to my mom, who was also doing her shopping somewhere else. And I said to her, look, you know, I only got to buy 9 presents, including the kids. And I've got a couple of things that I bought overseas that I've got in a drawer. And
yeah, I mean, you've always been quite good at having a gift cupboard.
Yeah, I try. I'm not always that good. But there are 7 of us, so 7 by 7. So just for the adults, not including the kids, that's all of us giving each other presents. Is 49 presents that are going to be under that tree. That's a lot of stuff. You know, we're not a big family. Yeah. Can you imagine if we were, you know, 8 kids? Or you get those families that are just huge. Now, even if you only buy one little gift, let's say you do what I like to do with my friends every year when we all do a Secret Santa, and it's a cheap under 100 rand gift. That's really why I went to the Chinese shop. And man, did I find some great shit for under 100 rand. No, I'm not even kidding. I found this little thing. It's like a ball that has two blades above it. It's like, I suppose you could call it a drone.
Okay.
But it's this ball. It's probably going to break after like the first 15 minutes. But
that's fine. Christmas by instant gratification.
Right. I found that. I found an apple slicing machine.
Oh, no.
That's a dream for someone.
It's a little over 100 bucks, but I think I can get away with it. And you just smash an apple onto this thing.
Yeah.
And then you press a button and it goes zzz, and it like peels the apple. I mean, that is so fantastic. Do you know
got such FOMO now. I should have bought that for someone.
Exactly. Do you know how many millions of years of human trying to skin an apple?
Yeah.
Has been a tiresome, irritating,
dreadful experience.
Holding it in your hand, try to peel it like a potato.
Wow, listen to you, Verimark.
That's how people get grouchy, by peeling apples.
Wait, so you really have someone in mind for this?
No, this is the Secret Santa. I haven't decided which one I'm going to give, though.
Okay.
And I found this thing. It's like an axe, but it's also it's like a little axe. You can hold it in one hand. It cost 100 rand. It's an axe. It's got a little blade. It's got a little... It's almost like a Swiss Army knife, but... In like a manly edition. Oh. It's great. It is great. It's 100 fucking rand. I was so happy. I was bouncing off the walls. I was like, this is fantastic. So I don't need to go to the big department store. Yeah, people are telling me like they. So one of my friends went to Mall of Africa. Said it's the worst experience he's ever had in his life.
Stay away from there in December.
Well, first of all, the only time I've been to Mall of Africa in December was when Ben and Daniela and I went to watch the Star Wars movie there once. I'd stay away from that place December because it's a clusterfuck, right?
No,
parking and apparently they don't have a lot of Christmas decorations up all over the place because the place is so sterile and commercial. Mm. They don't even decorate the place. They don't have Christmas music playing. Somebody wrote me an email. Where's this? Someone who's...
That's because probably one person said, I find it offensive that you have Christmas here because you don't celebrate Christmas.
Yeah. Something like some douchebag. Imagine. So anyway, I don't want to go to a place where I'm going to, first of all, have to swarm through huge crowds of people and make my way past 27 people who are like looking up at the shelves and not moving.
Mm-hmm.
And pushing their trolley into the back of your feet. And their kids are screaming. And then they don't have their credit card isn't working when they get to the thing because they've maxed it out. And you have to wait because now they're going to try their other credit card. And you know what I'm talking about, right? I don't want to complain all morning, but that's just horrible. So I went to this little shitty Chinese store and I found a bunch of exciting shit. I found a thermometer that you could point at something. It's got infrared.
Oh, wow.
You like laser point. I kid you, this thing was 200 rand.
How have we lived without that so far?
I know. You could point it. And I tested it when I got home. I went around my house. I tested it inside the fridge.
Yeah.
Your fridge temperature, guess what that is? 4 degrees.
Sure, yeah.
In my fridge anyway. Freezer, -17.
Okay, wait, you pointed at Carl?
You pointed at the dog. It says, 29 or 28 degrees.
That's amazing.
You pointed at the wall, 25.2 degrees.
Seriously, I bought all the
Isn't
wrong gifts.
Isn't it great, Ben?
I bought all the wrong gifts
right?
this year.
And it's cheap. It cost me the whole shopping experience. I'll tell you every detail. I bought two bags full of crap. Real crap. But it's going to be so much fun to watch people unwrap this shit. And it cost me under 1,000 rand. Two bags full of stuff.
The amazing thing is that you're going to have so much fun describing the gift more so the person receiving the gift.
Yes. Oh, man, it was great.
See, I'm a bit different when it comes to my family because I have an easy strategy that's kind of not original at this point because this is probably the 100th year I'm repeating this. But it always just satisfies each and every person. So with my parents, I always get them books. My dad, it's always some sort of, because he collects...
Spoiler alert.
No, they know what's coming, really, but they'll always act surprised nonetheless. My dad collects different types of Bibles. So as long as the cover's different or it's a different version, he loves having that in his study. So he's easy to buy for.
How many Bibles he kept at this stage?
Oh, goodness, I have no idea.
But he's got like a hell of a collection.
It's his whole bookshelf at home. It's his bookshelf in his office.
Yes.
And they're also in boxes in like the garage.
Do you also buy him shirts with like his favorite psalm on it?
No. Already like a Bible's good enough. My mother has her favorite authors. There's like three authors that are her go-tos. So buying that for her is good and simple. So, one author for Mother's Day, one author for her birthday, one author for Christmas, and you're done. And then my sisters and I collect cologne and perfume, so I know they're interesting brands. So I just swap them around, and we're done.
Okay. Yeah,
See, the thing is, though, you should have a gift strategy, because that's what gets you over the line. Mm. Like, I either love shopping or I absolutely hate it, and that could be in the same minute. I just look around, I get so
flip
despondent.
The switch like this.
Yeah, I fucking hate this. And then I finally go to the new store. I was like, I can buy that. This is so cool. But I have tried to like online shop throughout the year.
Oh, that's
good.
To get
like small
things. That's so clever.
And I realized that's actually my strategy going forward now. So what you do is you just always online, and you always pick up little things you find are quite interesting, and then they get delivered to you throughout the year. There's no hush, like rush or stress around that. And then come December, you're like, well, got everything. Hopefully.
I think that's the way to go. They deliver to you. You don't have to go to any of these places, mix yourself in with all of the disastrous mess. You just have your fun, and then boxes get delivered to your house. Mm. Is there anything more fun? Even if you're opening a box with other people's presents in it.
It's still delivery. Yeah.
No, yes. I don't like that.
Think about it. I love that. That's such a good idea, Ben. I wish I'd thought about it in advance.
But lest we forget, it is only one day.
Well, It's not really. It's the build-up. The build-up's what makes everything fun in life.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound dodgy. Yeah. No. But it's true, though. Christmas isn't just one day. Christmas is a lifestyle.
Says the guy in the Christmas hat. Absolutely.
Yes. It's a big thing.
What are you doing for Christmas, Ben?
Going to be at my parents' place.
Nice.
So we drive down. Like, we're doing like a three-day road trip as of right now. We're going to go to Gerib Dam. Then we go to Mikey's Fontaine, then Rubik West, and we're spreading that out like a three-day thing.
That's so nice.
And they're going to be there out in the countryside for 5 days, and then Cape Town for 2 days, and then back to Joburg, and then we're going away close by for like 3 days.
When you say countryside, what do you mean?
Well, it's a small town out in the rurals, in the wine country.
There's vineyards and like orchards.
Like you have to drive to your neighbor's house. No. You can't walk there.
No, it's like a town. So
it's a little town.
Oh, it's a little dorpy, okay.
But it's a really small little town.
So there's like one major grocery store, one major liquor shop.
Yeah, but the great thing is there's like another small town like 3 kilometers down the road. So there's like craft breweries there and there's restaurants. And like there's enough going on. There's more than enough going on without it being like a really holiday metropolis.
The Western Cape is probably the only province, and I stand to be corrected, but it's the only province where these little towns actually have learned to thrive because they've created their own identity. They've got people who have a bit of money who've moved to them. It's not just this exodus of any cash where the municipalities have ripped off everything that they could, stolen the place bare, and the roads are full of potholes, and there's a liquor store, a gun store, a funeral parlor, because they all feed each other, right? You go, you buy liquor, you shoot someone, and then they go to the funeral parlor. That's all you can look forward to in those shit towns.
The small-town economy.
Like, that's the Northwest. That's the Northern Cape. That's most of KZN. That's most of Mpumalanga. It's terrible in these places. Depressing.
They drink, they buy a gun.
Yeah. They shoot someone, and then that person goes to the funeral
parlor. Right. Circle of life.
They're the only businesses that can thrive in those places. But the Western Cape has got like the wine thing going. It's got the arts thing going. It's got little craft breweries. It's got little craft shops. It's got places where someone will knit blankets and she can make a living. Because the municipalities in those, mostly, I'm not saying all of them, but most of those municipalities are functional. Like there's running water and electricity, and the roads are okay, and you can navigate through the town. And people go there, and you're not going to be like raped and murdered and have your shit stolen because people there are so desperate.
Yeah, I think if you are generally, there's a general universal rule. If you are looking to relocate to a small town, find out how many gays live there.
Well, that's usually a good sign.
And if there are the gays, then you're fine.
You should move there, yeah.
If there's no gays in your town,
terrible.
Sorry, but there is no hope for it.
Yeah, I'd say a town without gays is probably a dangerous, horrible place.
Completely. It's like a town without water.
Oh, good point.
It's not going to last.
No, this is true.
Okay.
It's one of the best ways to tell. I think Ben's just hit a seriously good vein of truth here.
First question you ask your real estate agents, like, what's the winters like? You know, obviously, you don't want to be in like a wind tunnel or a hurricane belt or whatever, and how many gays? Simple.
Pertinent questions.
Straight up.
Okay.
Okay, listen to this quickly. Very important message.
Mr. President and Mrs. Trump, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Well, I just want to thank you very much, Kathy Lee, and we're here at President's Park. We want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. Have unbelievable holidays.
Unbelievable.
And we are now going to light a very beautiful tree, and I'll ask our First Lady to get ready, and maybe we'll do a countdown from 10. So we'll go 10,
yes.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4.
And Melania at this point is going, shit, what come after 2?
Oh.
She goes, oh, on credit card, I remember it's 2497. That last 4 digit when I have to put a PIN code. But what come after 3 when counting to the backward? What happened here? What is this shit? Huh? Can you imagine how upset she is? She's like, why are they doing this to me? Why are they... Donald, when I hit buttons.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ta-da! Happy Christmas, everybody. There you go. Isn't that nice? So there's an official Christmas wish from President Donald Trump. Sounds very happy. He said we must all have unbelievable holidays.
But no one does the holidays like the United States.
Oh, they love it, right? They go cray-cray.
Oh, it is. I think it's because as well we're fed this so much.
America metal again.
Gord will love this.
Where is Gord?
In the passion play.
He's in Cape Town.
Rumbling away. I'm your source of self-destruction.
This is Trump doing metal. It's hilarious. Anyway, we'll play that for Gord when we get back.
Oh.
So you've muted Gord again, Michelle. No, Michelle, he's not here. He was meant to be here today, but he actually did tell me he's only getting back from Cape Town this afternoon, so he's not going to be in.
Just can't put two shows together, is Gordon here?
Well, he did. He did for 2 weeks. He did all right. 2 weeks. He's back in the reserve. Michelle Gordon. Also says Henry von Bredow will love that axe that you bought, Gareth. No, I don't think it's big enough for him. You know, if you're going to... If you're going to chop your entire family to death, you need something a little more substantial. This one would be useful for like breaking twigs for kindling. It's not gonna rescue you from the wild, if you know what I mean.
Oh, Henry.
Yeah, arme Henry. Oh. Henry. Where did he get a D in his name? Yeah. All right, let's do the 5 things, huh?
Yeah.
Let's see what we've got there.
Yeah, good idea.
5 things you need to know today. Strong thunder showers and thunderstorms are going to hit parts of South Africa this week. An alert for severe thunderstorm activity was issued for KZN and the Eastern Cape especially. They're saying that other provinces will experience thundershowers that include the Northwest and Mpumalanga. And holidaymakers are urged to plan their trips accordingly to avoid being affected by the weather. But are you suddenly going to change your holiday plans because of adverse weather?
Mm. I heard someone actually died yesterday in KZN. Struck by lightning.
What?
Boom.
Jeez. Oh my God.
Jesus doesn't like you.
Wow.
Or that someone really was, you know, bewitching you.
Yes, wow. that's a big part of it.
The witchcraft. It's KZN and they're killing you by lightning. Wow.
Oh, that's definitely, that's the ancestors and the witchcraft. I'll tell you what, Jane Malachi is a big believer in this. She told me the other day that N1 highway to Polokwane, which she uses often to go back to Limpopo, she said the reason that people die there is because there's a ghost. She says, there's a ghost on that road, and because people die in accidents, they let other people die in accidents. These ghosts make people die. There's always horror accidents there. She believes it's ghosts.
I
don't let the ghost make blind overtake on your behalf.
Yeah.
With an unreadworthy vehicle that's overloaded.
In other words, if you hear a voice in your head while you're driving on the N1, don't respond.
Oh.
You know how to get a ghost out of a car or off a road?
How?
Let an atheist drive.
Yeah.
Oh. Wait, do atheists also not believe in ghosts?
Of course they don't.
How? Oh.
Well, I mean, unless they're the kind of atheist that's also into dream catchers and crystal healing. And
no.
Okay. A runaway blaze, we spoke about this earlier, in St. Francis Bay has been contained after at least 20 homes were damaged on Tuesday, 11 of them burnt to the ground. No injuries have been reported, and dozens of residents and holidaygoers, rather, have been urged to evacuate. The Coho municipality's Hutting Borman says at this stage the fire has been contained because the wind has died down. But if that wind picks up again, it's difficult to contain it. At this stage, everything's under control. They're busy extinguishing the houses that have caught fire. And remember, in 2012, a fire destroyed more than 70 of the homes in that little town.
Mm.
Absolute carnage. All right, you want some Trump news since we just played him?
Mm-hmm.
Michael Flynn is going to be sentenced, a key milestone in the investigation into alleged Russian collusion that has been developing over the past 18 months. Yeah, Donald Trump's former national security advisor, Michael Flynn, sentenced on Tuesday for lying to investigators about his conversations with the Russian ambassador during the 2016 presidential elections. His sentencing comes hot on the heels of Michael Cohen, Trump's former lawyer, being sentenced to 3 years in prison last week, while former aide Paul Manafort still waits for his sentencing on fraud and money laundering charges. It's a lot of people going to jail in the Trump administration, don't you think?
Yeah,
it's quite a few.
It is quite a few. It's not ideal. And our own Donald Trump, Herman Mashaba, is very concerned about counterfeit goods in Johannesburg. He says the November crime stats released earlier on Tuesday, apparently counterfeit goods worth 86 million rand were seized, ranging from clothes to medicine. Fong Kong, that's what he's worried about. And he says this has a negative impact on the economy of the city and the country. National government needs to do more to curb this trend. These companies, says the mayor of Johannesburg, are concerned about the breakdown of the rule of law in South Africa. So we can expect dire consequences for our country in terms of economic growth, job losses, and investment, because no normal businesses will invest in a place where your trademarks are not protected.
That's a very good point.
I like Herman Mashaba. I really do.
Yeah, he seems to be fighting the good fights.
Yeah, and whatever party he was in, I'd support him.
I mean, everyone's got their flaw in politics, but he seems to actually have a genuine interest about progression.
Yeah, he's interested in the rule of law. He arrested on the night that I saw him last month. He made a citizen's arrest, and some dude who was pushing like a whole trolley of meat. I mean, like meat that had just been hacked off an animal. The head was still bleeding. It was just revolting. So he stopped them in the street, said, "Hey, listen, this is a health hazard," which it clearly is. "We're arresting you." And the dude is like a Zimbabwean national. He's like, okay, what's he going to do? You know? And then this is such a horrible story. I hate this. This three-year-old boy who suffered broken bones, severe bruises on his body and face, head injuries, 60% burns on his body, and was eventually murdered. It's baby Daniel. You've heard this story. There is a couple standing trial in the High Court in Johannesburg for the murder, abuse, and neglect of this baby. Judgment has been reserved in the case. They're the parents, obviously, of their three-year-old son, Naturina, south of Johannesburg. The child was found dead at his home after being severely beaten and burnt with boiling water. The parents, who cannot be named to protect the identity of their children, because they've got other children, are accused of torturing baby Daniel, as he's known, for most of his young life until he subsequently died. The boy was just... Oh, what a horrible life this little child must have had. The torture allegedly happened over a long period of time. The court heard details of how the boy's stepfather allegedly sent his girlfriend a message while she was away, hours before the young boy died, telling her how he brutally beat the child up for good this time round. I mean, you have to be a pretty sick, twisted, vicious, ugly monster of a human being to do this, but you have to be a whole other kind of monster to tell someone that you've done this and to p- proudly tell them, oh, I beat the child for good this time. You sick piece of shit. You motherfucker. I'm going to get me cross just before Christmas. The judge questioned if baby Daniel's mother noticed a pattern of his stepfather harming the child, especially in her absence. The judge also referred to a day when the three-year-old needed the toilet and the mother allegedly allowed the child to go outside on his own. Ugh. The mother cried hysterically, forcing a short adjournment. Well, you're just the most disgusting and despicable creatures that have ever walked the earth if you do this to your child. And for you, I've often said some people should not be parents just because they wouldn't do the optimal job, but that's a threshold way beyond these people. There's no optimal job here. This kid was born, he was bred into existence to die a horrible death and to have the most awful time on earth. And those parents are precisely the kind of people that should have been hauled away and sterilized. They should have been taken into custody. They should have been locked in jail, and they should have been sterilized. I mean, there is no better argument for why some people should not breed.
Yeah, that should really become a thing. If people are arguing about the death penalty, we should talk about this whole criminal sterilization thing.
I don't know. I don't even know where to start, because how do you make these rules? Who decides? Is it the government? Yeah. Imagine the government saying to you, you can't have children. Imagine the government controlling that certain populations do have kids and others do not. That's dangerous. No, the apartheid government tried to do that. So I don't know what the answer is, but these particular people...
But that's the thing. But then you face with crimes like this and you think, how is a normal kind of way of sentencing or justice going to actually... work, yeah.
Cold place in hell for people like that.
Oh, we hope.
We can only hope. All right, it's time for Ben to give us some sport. Let me just tell you that we've got another episode in our series For the Love of Law, where we take you behind the desks of some of South Africa's smartest lawyers. That's at 8 a.m. today. Shelley Bennett is not a lawyer. She doesn't even have a desk at this firm, Fluxman's. But for 12 years, she, who's also the head of her own company called Promogenics, has been the woman behind the scenes, taking care of all the eventing and marketing needs, making sure every tiny detail is taken into account and translated into a perfect picture. You can find out more about her and about all the lawyers at cliffcentral.com. For the Love of Law is brought to you by Fluxman's Attorneys, one of South Africa's leading law firms. And maybe you're studying law at university and you want to know how it works. You want to get some insight into a big firm like this and how it all comes together. Meet the partners. Because normally, let's face it, even if you work in an organization like that, you don't get to meet the partners. Right? Exactly. Here you get to actually spend time with all of them. 15 to 20 minutes where you get to hear them, tell their story, tell you what they specialize in, what their hobbies are, what things they do for relaxation and to get away from work, what kind of cases they have done that have changed the world of law. I think it's fascinating. So it's a new way of a firm like this getting to know all of us and us getting to know them. Not to mention all the other lawyers in town who will be able to find out what the competition are thinking about. I think it's exciting as all hell. So, go and take a listen to that after 8 this morning. Bitcoin's $3,779, and guess what? Ethereum's back over $100. Woo-hoo-hoo. Isn't that exciting? Hey, Ben?
No, I didn't think so either.
All right, then it's time for the sport. Let's go.
All right, well, we're going to recap the year, Gareth, the big highlights from that, and, of course, what to look forward to in the festive season right now.
Very nice, Ben. I'll give you some Christmas music. How about that?
Yeah, let's go for it, Gareth. 2018, like any other sporting year, was obviously action-packed. There was all kinds of things happening, and it started out in the best possible way in South Africa. The Aussies came over here for a big cricket tour, and they made absolute doers of themselves. Like, so much so that the entire nation literally came to a standstill.
Never forget.
Absolute shock, horror, and shame, because they were tampering with the ball. Dave Warner was being Dave Warner. There was a great clip about Faf du Plessis in a towel, after seeing what was happening between Quinton de Kock and David Warner, and that's how the year got started. It was brilliant. It really, really was. The Aussies were trying to play, but they were also being hugely distracted and hugely outplayed by guys like Kagiso Rabada. He was amazing. Obviously, the world's best bowler. and he showed it in that series, and then he was kind of suspended, and then he wasn't suspended. All the while, the Aussies were putting sandpaper on the ball. They eventually got busted in Newlands, and some of the best TV camera work that you'll ever see. Well done to the producers on Supersport. They created something quite fantastic there. And then there was tears. There was lots and lots of tears, and there was all this talk about crossing the line. Ultimately, the Proteas hammered them on the field, and the Aussies went back shamed, absolutely shamed.
Yep.
Ah, it was
funny to think that was just... It was this year.
This year. Yeah. What an incredible thing that was. Probably my favorite YouTube video of the whole year was just dissecting the crying and the tears and all that kind of crap that came from Steve Smith and Sandcroft and Warner. And then AB retired, so there was like tears in a very different kind of way. AB de Villiers, of course, was trying so hard to manage his cricketing career with all the huge expectations and being a new dad and all that kind of stuff. He decided, well, screw it. I don't need international cricket. I don't really want it anymore. So I'll just play T20s, and you guys go on with your life, which was great. But of course, people who believe sports stars are their property, well, they were hugely upset. To which I say to them, get a life. The Proteas still can't play spin. They went to Sri Lanka and got embarrassed there. But on more positive things, they went to Australia and beat them again, because that's just what they do. They beat the Aussies. And finally, the cricketing year came to a very exciting end with the Mzansi Super League. I was lucky enough to be at the final this past Sunday. And the vibe was great. It really is. There's so much potential here. There's so many players are being unearthed, and more international players will come to actually play this whole league. So the first year wasn't bad. It really wasn't. I know people would talk about the whole ground attendance wasn't great in some areas. Well, that final was well attended. The game was a bit boring, but that's finals cricket. You never know what you're going to get. And obviously a huge amount of pressure. And the Jersey Stars, my team, they came out tops.
Nice. Yeah. Well done, Ben.
No, well the done. Show's been going 43 minutes. Not one of you have congratulated me about that yet.
You almost single-handedly made the Mzansi Super League relevant for us. I mean, we wouldn't pay attention to cricket 90% of the time, but this time we knew. Well, I knew my team, the Paul Rocks.
Yeah, but they were unfortunately...
That's all I knew, though.
They were unfortunately hoisted out of there by the rain and, in the playoff match.
How disappointing.
So that was pretty much your big highlights in cricket. Of course, Virat Kohli, people love him, or they hate him, or they hate him. He's currently in Australia, and that's a really great test series. It's 1-1 currently. Australia won the second test.
Yep.
And they're trying to be the nice guys now. So there's been this amazing change around in cricket, from cricket's having these hard bastard Australians who win everything. Now they're these like meek and sort of cowering, I just want to be a nice guy kind of people. It's really interesting. It really is. Of course, we've got the Pakistan series to look forward to, but I'll get into that in a second. In rugby, Alistair Coetzee was shown the door, and Rusty Erasmus came in, the prodigal son of SA Rugby, who then went on to basically run SA Rugby with 17 different jobs and huge amounts of expectation. Now, if you look at his stats, not great. Pretty much that of Alistair Coetzee, but he did the all-important thing, beating the All Blacks. Almost beaten them twice as well. Unfortunately, their Proteas have had a little bit at Loftus, but still not a terrible year in that a lot of young, good players are coming through. The team does look quite exciting going towards the World Cup. And Sir Khaleesi, the first Black Springbok captain.
Yes.
Those are big highlights. These are big things. So in many ways, 2018 was a step forward in rugby. Yes, of course, Super Rugby was boring as all hell, and even less people give a toss about that nowadays. And Ashton Villams decided to walk out of the Super Sports studio in a racist huff. Racial huff. Sorry, I can't say racist huff. That
no.
Would be wrong. And then Ireland, well, they were the best team in the year in world rugby. They beat the All Blacks at the end of the year. They beat everyone else in the mud where they play. And it was a really, really good year for them. So going into 2019, rugby is in a very, very good place. And same, I could say the same for cricket, because obviously 2019 is World Cup years for both rugby and the cricket. In football, France won the World Cup. They did so kind of without really breaking too much of a sweat. The Germans were crap. Spain equally so. And Russia, they somehow managed to get to a quarterfinal of a World Cup, despite the fact that no one thought they could get out of their group. Croatia were the sort of darlings of the tournament. They made it all the way to the final. And of course, England didn't win anything. But they made it to the semi-final.
They didn't win anything.
Well, what's new?
They were never going to make anything happen. Right. Real Madrid were amazing. They won the Champions League again. Ronaldo high-fived everybody. But then Ronaldo left. Zidane said, that's it. I've had enough with this as well. And Real Madrid are now in the toilet. Well, maybe not in the toilet, but they're not really doing as well as they used to. They really are. I mean, take away that Ronaldo and Zidane, and suddenly they were losing to like really odd teams, getting hammered in the Champions League. But they made it through to the next round, where they'll be able to pick that up in the new year. Dani Jordan and Ronaldo were accused of rape. Luka Modric wins the Ballon d'Or. Mourinho got sacked yesterday. which is pretty much the funny football story of the year. Now, Jose has not done very well with Man United.
No, this was a big, this was big news yesterday. I saw a lot of people going on about it.
Faced like a severely smacked ass throughout the year, and that's just the players. Mourinho, of course, topped them all off, and the press conferences were just becoming quite mundane. As we all know, the English Premier League is just one big circus, a big pantomime performance, of which Jose is one of the big players there. But Man United, they are so screwed. Who on earth can they bring into this? Because the players aren't happy. Gary Lineker, the English great, he made a good point. They had to sack Jose right now so that the big players don't want to, you know, leave in the transfer window. That's quite possible. At least now they can be sold all kinds of lies like, well, we'll have a new manager. He'll do amazing things. But they can't keep throwing money at the problem. Jose threw money at everything. And look what stuck. Nothing. Nothing other than his long face. Banyana. They were the big sort of story from a South African perspective because they made it to the final of AFCON. Unfortunately, they lost in penalties to Nigeria, but they'll be going to their first ever World Cup, the Women's World Cup. So good on them. Of course, Man City were incredible. They still are incredible, but the race will carry on, which I'll get to in a second. In athletics, Usain Bolt came to SA, but more for champagne and football reasons, although it was quite cool. Obviously, he was there to inspire young athletes. Akani Simbine went from strength to strength, and he won the Commonwealth gold in the 100 meters. Eliud Kipchoge, he broke the world marathon record, but he absolutely hammered it in Germany. So that was quite that was probably the biggest physical feat of the year when you think about it and what he did. And the IAAF still absolutely hate Casa Semenya. No matter what she does and goes about her way, the IAAF...
It's becoming so messy.
It's becoming hugely messy because they want to kind of obviously appease the traditional powerhouses of athletics and just the whiny bitches from Europe. But now they're trying to do this thing about bringing your testosterone levels down and is it legal, is it ethical, is it moral? They've dealt with this terribly. They really have. They've dealt with it like a businessman deals with a prostitute in his room and his wife comes to visit. They want to do the right thing, but they also want to cover things up, and they don't know what to say. They just don't know what to say. That's pretty much it in athletics, I guess.
Sure.
In tennis, Roger Federer still wins things despite being old. Old as me. Djokovic got back on top, which is kind of cool because there's a lot more character with someone like a Novak Djokovic. Andy Murray is still basically at home with his mum. And Nadal in and out of injuries. So tennis is a decent place. And sadly, it was overshadowed in the women's game by what happened in the final of the US Open, where Serena felt that she was being poorly treated by the lions person.
I remember that.
The umpire.
That was this year, huh?
Yeah. What a year. That kind of was the biggest story in women's tennis, unfortunately. If you look through the headlines, a lot of people have just no idea who actually won the US Open. I mean, I've forgotten. I know she's Japanese. She was an Ellen. Favorite color is blue, but I mean, outside of that, it was just Serena. And Serena is the mother, of course, there's also that too. And Kevin Anderson, good on Kev. SA's lone face in tennis. He made the Wimbledon final, and he was thereabouts the whole year. So he definitely has become an absolute world force in the game. In golf, Patrick Reed, he won the Masters, although nobody likes him, family included. Brooks Koepka won the US Open and the PGA Championship, and Francesco Molinari, who had this the year of years, he won the Open Championship. Tiger Woods came back, but he really did it. Like, he came back proper. He won the Tour Championships. He absolutely obliterated the field. Next week, unfortunately, he was absolutely dog shit in the Ryder Cup, a Ryder Cup where the Yanks, again, just got absolutely trousered by the Europeans. They don't seem to know how to win on courses that take a bit more skill than just target golf. And this Ryder Cup was kind of embarrassing because this was the one that we went there with a very strong team, maybe even seen as favorites, but they just couldn't get it done in the situations that they were in. And the Ryder Cup still remains probably the greatest team event in all of sport when you think of the drama, the suspense, and this crowd. It really is. So well done for Paris for hosting an incredible event. And after that, well, all eyes were on the match. Probably the two worst players in the Ryder Cup, Tiger and Phil, played for massive money, and it was boring as all hell. But it was an innovation in the sport, and I think it can progress to something really decent. Locally, Louis Oosthuizen finally won the SA Open. He had never won the SA Amateur, the SA anything, basically. And it was the first time I think he played the events in about 6 years, and he just blew the field away. I think he won by 6 strokes in the end and burst into tears afterwards because it meant that much to him. So good on Louis. And other sports, well, LeBron James, he went to the Lakers. I don't know if that's going to mean anything too much in basketball because the whole Cavaliers versus the Warriors monopoly on the NBA Finals was getting a bit tedious. Is it going to change this time around? Well, I think LeBron might not be able to go back to the final there because he's carrying an entire team which is a lot. I mean, he was sort of carrying the Cavaliers, but at least there were great players around him. Now he's gone to the Lakers. That was a really big move in sport, and one which will, well, I don't know, maybe give it a couple of seasons to see if it really is going to bear any fruit. Lewis Hamilton, he had the best car, and he knew what to do with it. So that's what Formula One was, really. And Ferrari had their chances. They really did. But they just had terrible strategy throughout the year and just never got it right on race day, despite the fact that their cars were also very, very good. That was pretty much it for all the big things in sport for this year. If you are looking for sport over the festive season, well, the Pakistan Tour of SA and the cricket, that's the next big one to look out for. 26th of December, that's a Wednesday, first test at Centurion. Yep, thankfully this test match has been taken away from Durban because Durban just do not deserve nice things.
Oh.
Simple as that, yeah. It's as simple as that. Hmm. People take things to Durban and Durban's like, yeah, we're not going to care about it. So rather than having 10 people watching the game, they can at least have 17 watching it at Centurion. And at least they'll be able to shout because they care about cricket. So that'll be from 10 o'clock, Wednesday the 26th. Thursday, January the 3rd, is the big New Year's Day test at Newlands. It is the best test match. It's the best venue to go for cricket, yes, in this country. It's straight up, that's all it is. It's a beautiful place, great place to drink beer, and it's always very, very well supported. So you can look out for that. And then Friday the 11th, once all the Gautengers are back from holidays, Friday the 11th of January, you get to watch the third test, SA versus Pakistan, at the Wanderers. I'm definitely going to be there. I'm all over that. All over that. Because cricket's a beautiful thing to watch. It really is. And in the Premier League, that will still be going on. These English footballers, they don't really get much chance to rest or drink or do anything. They really are just get whipped like pack animals through this period, all for your entertainment while you sit there and get fat on the couch. It's a beautiful thing. It really is. But there aren't too many big games. It's a bit of a spoiler for you. All the sort of big teams kind of avoid each other. The biggest game over the festive season is going to be Saturday, 29th of December, Liverpool versus Arsenal. Just a look at the log right now. Liverpool on top. They played 17. They got 45 points. Zero losses. Really is an incredible season so far for Jurgen Klopp and his guys. Second place is Manchester City. They've also played 17. All the teams have played 17 at this current stage. They're 1 point behind Liverpool. Just the one loss. Spurs are in third. Zero draws this season so far. It's incredible. They have added the four losses. They're on 39 points. I mean, ultimately, the title race is going to be between Liverpool and Man City. There's no way both of those teams are going to falter. One of them is going to go through. And that's going to be an intriguing thing to see how those squads last. You know, how they last through all the rigors of other competitions they're playing in. And ultimately, I think Man City will come good purely in the fact that they've got so much money and so much quality throughout that team. Chelsea currently in fourth and 37th place. 37 points. Arsenal on 34, and then there's a huge gap, massive gap.
Yeah.
Massive gap of 8 points, Gareth. Sorry, 12 points. 12 points between Arsenal and Man United in 6th. So the top 5 is the top 5. The rest of them, well, they're looking for whatever. Just stay in it. Who will be Man United's next manager? That's going to be the funny and interesting thing to find out in the new year. I think they're going to put Solskjaer, who looks like Frodo, in as like a sort of temporary kind of thing. Because there's always this little...
Yes. Look like Frodo.
He looks like Frodo.
Okay.
Lord of the Rings. That's the guy who's going to be managing United for the next couple of weeks. Definitely take him into the new year. And that is pretty much it for the sports. It's been great bringing you the sport throughout 2018, and I'm really excited about doing the same in 2019.
Fantastic.
We'll be back on 7th, Gareth.
That's correct, your the first, 7th of January.
Your first sports recap of the festive season.
That's it.
And preview for the new year will be 7th of January here on cliffcentral.com.
For sure. Ooh, all right, thank you, Ben. Very exciting. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's get to Sia and see what's going on with Said by Sia. Sia, what do you got for us this morning?
Oh, I love the story so much, guys. I feel like I say that every morning.
Yeah, tell us what it is.
But this one is just sweet.
All right.
Durban has its very own Santa Claus who's working overtime. And this is really just so heartwarming. A Durban man, his name is Shivin Gopi, he's 31 years old, is transforming old and broken toys into good as new treats so that every child gets to experience some joy over this festive season. Now, Shivin recently shared an appeal on social media for donations of old toys to what he's now dubbed Shivin's workshop, but he actually didn't anticipate that he would receive such an overwhelming response. And his workshop, by the way, is actually just his dining room table, but it's now packed to capacity and now looks like a toy store, he says. Luckily, his wife also shares his enthusiasm, and they both just work on eco-friendly ways to package the toys once they're fixed. So here's the thing, Shivin Gopi is actually actually in the electronics industry himself. He's been working in the industry for more than a decade.
Yeah.
And so for him, working with electronics and fixing TVs and plugging things back together, it's something that he actually enjoys. And so he thought, why don't I use this to benefit others? So that's when he put the call out to on social media. And you think about in your experience with your own kids or nieces and nephews, how as soon as one wheel falls off their toy cars,
sure,
or once a remote control doesn't work
you
anymore,
throw it away.
You throw it away, or it's now put into storage and no one ever uses it again. So that's all Shaven was hoping for. This, he just said, give me what you don't use anymore. I'll fix it up in my own spare time.
Oh,
and
nice.
I'll even go out and donate it to someone who needs it. So really, he says that it's expensive to buy brand new toys and donate them. So he just asked his community to come together and give him any toys that are repairable. You know, this remote control car that doesn't work, or a teddy bear that's missing an eye. And as an electronic quality engineer, he works hard during the day and often comes home late. But regardless, he'd come home and would still spend his time fixing these toys. So he says that he actually reached his personal deadline because he put the call out on social media a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He met his personal deadline 2 weeks into December. He said that was more than enough there for what he had promised the orphanages in his in and around his area. Now he's actually still going to continue on in December fixing some toys, and he'll start delivering more toys in the new year. So he'll continue this even after Christmas, which I think is absolutely incredible. He says that there are some kids who don't even know what a toy is, and this is to show that at the end of the day, a simple act can go a long way. So if you are in the Durban area, he has actually made his number public. If you are interested in contacting him, he says just send him a text on 082-580-9552. If you have any toys that you want to...
Oh wow, that's his personal number?
Yeah, he's made it public. He said if you sure. really do want to donate, go ahead and give him a text.
Isn't that great? What
he asked
great
for
guy.
No calls, just no calls, yeah. but a text on 082-580-9552. And he says he'll gladly repair and he'll gladly donate the toys on your behalf. Oh, so incredible. Shaven Gopi, you are amazing.
Good guy.
Yeah, really made me smile when I heard of the story. And that's your Seba Seer for this morning.
There are some spectacularly good people in this world, you know? We focus on the horrible ones and the bad ones and the ones who make us depressed about humanity, because obviously that's in the news, and some of the time we're just so appalled by what we read that we're not entirely sure that we're reading something honest and real. You can't believe what you're dealing with.
So cool.
Yeah, but then you see good stories and you're like, yeah, there are some nice, solid, decent, dependable, fantastic people in the world. I hope you meet them over the next couple of weeks, and only them, and you don't meet any of the shitheads. Because God alone knows we don't need more of them in our lives, do
yeah.
we? All right, let's get cracking. It's just about 7 o'clock. CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.